This is the tax update for April 22, 2008. This week, qualified joint ventures and a memo on the self-employment tax. The Tax Update podcast, intended for tax professionals, is not designed for those not skilled in independent tax research. All readers and listeners are expected to do their own research to confirm items raised in this presentation before relying upon the positions presented. The podcast and the document may be reproduced freely as long as no fee is charged for the use of the document or the audio podcast. Such prohibited use include using the podcast or documents part of a CP presentation for which a fee is charged. The podcast is sponsored by Lineberg Information Services, located on the web at www.lineburgservices.com. Lineberg Information Services offers email newsletters on tax-related matters as well as access to a library of useful information to tax practitioners that subscribe to their services. Visit them on the web at www.lineburgservices.com. Well, this week we're covering a topic that we covered before recently, both in an original discussion of the point that came up in the IRS's Tax Talk Today webcast podcast and a correction that came up with the following presentation of that program. Now the IRS has released a legal memorandum that outlines the new and improved IRS position on this matter. To review, a key question we're going to look at is whether a married couple that elects to have their rental property treated as a qualified joint venture under Section 751F does, by that act, convert the rental property's income into self-employment income, and perhaps also convert rental losses into amounts that would offset self-employment income. The instructions to Form 1065 and the IRS discussion in the original January Tax Talk Today program indicated the answer was yes. But the IRS later issued a modified version of the transcript of that presentation and specifically referred to that modified transcript in the following Tax Talk Today program that went on and reversed that position, taking the position that, in fact, an election to be a qualified joint venture did not convert the income into self-employment income. The IRS has now issued a memorandum that outlines the reasons for that position. Now, reviewing quickly, going back over what we previously had, the old law, Internal Revenue Code Section 761F was added to the law last year to allow married taxpayers in some cases to not be required to file a Form 1065, but rather be able to report their joint income from their venture on Form 1040 itself. The provision was seen by many as an extension of what was allowed for taxpayers in community property states who owned an interest in an LLC as community property to elect to treat that entity either as totally disregarded and report everything on the Form 1040 or treat it as a partnership. The section for qualified joint venture provides, F in general, that in the case of a qualified joint venture conducted by a husband and wife who filed a joint return for taxable year for purposes of this title, such joint venture shall not be treated as a partnership. All items of income, gain, loss, deduction, and credit shall be divided between the spouses in accordance with their respective interests in the venture, and each spouse shall take into account such spouse's respective share of such items as if they were attributable to a trade or business conducted by such spouse as a sole proprietor. The definition of qualified joint venture is found in F2, and in order to be a qualified joint venture, you had to meet three criteria. First, the only members of such a joint venture had to be a husband and a wife. Both spouses must materially participate within the meaning of Section 469H without regard to the participation of the spouse, paragraph 5, paragraph of that provision, in the trade or business, and both spouses must elect the application of this subsection. Now, that wasn't the only provision added. We had a section added to Section 1402. We had a provision added. Added 1402A17, and that's the key issue for the controversy we're going to deal with as to what exactly does this language mean. And 17 says, notwithstanding the preceding provisions of this subsection, each spouse's share of income or loss from a qualified joint venture shall be taken into account as provided in Section 761F in determining net earnings from self-employment of such spouse. The key question we end up having to resolve is this. What exactly did Congress mean by that phrase, notwithstanding the preceding provisions of this subsection, in that provision? Does it refer solely as to how to allocate the items of income that otherwise are determined to be self-employment income, or does it serve to effectively repeal the exceptions to the inclusions of amount in self-employment income found elsewhere in Section 1402A? The answer to that question determines the effect of making the election to be a qualified joint venture. Now, the Form 1065 instructions were the first place we got an indication of an IRS viewpoint on this matter. And in the instructions to Form 1065, which, as we all know, are wholly unofficial expressions of position that is not binding on the IRS should the law be otherwise, in that particular document, though, we had this new provision did remove the exceptions found in 1402A, or at least the one dealing with rental real estate. The relevant portion of the instructions is found in column 2 on page 2, and it provided that if you and your spouse make the election for your rental real estate business, you must each report your share of income and deductions on Schedule C or CEZ instead of Schedule E. Although rental real estate income generally is not included in net earnings from self-employment, you and your spouse each must take into account your share of the income and deductions from the rental real estate business in figuring your net earnings from self-employment on Schedule SE. Note, those instructions remain the ones posted on the IRS's website for Form 1065 to this day. On the Tax Talk Today show, there was a following exchange per the transcript between Kurt Freeman of the IRS and Elizabeth Buckingham, an enrolled agent with Murray, Wells, Wendland, and Robinson CPAs in Dayton, Ohio. Ms. Buckingham, the question comes forward. Can you clarify the application of self-employment tax to rental real estate activities by husband-wife venture? Will SE, will self-employed tax apply? Again, Mr. Freeman, yeah, I'm not surprised somebody wanted a clarification because that's a strange twist to it, but that is actually what the law says. It says that they will compile it with their Form 1040. If that election, what would be subject to SE tax flowing through a 1065, is subject to SE tax on the two Schedule C. What would not be subject, I should say, to SE tax flowing through a 1065 is now subject to SE tax on the two Schedule Cs. Ms. Buckingham now interjects. But it's interesting. As you said that, I was thinking about that's good if they have other Schedule C income, other self-employment income. Mr. Freeman goes, yeah, there, and Ms. Buckingham says they could use it as a reduction. Mr. Freeman says, right. Because generally, you're right. Rental real estate is usually a lot. Now, actually, that last word in the transcript, I believe, is wrong, which he actually said, and what makes a lot more sense to say, rental real estate is usually a loss, referring to the fact that rentals tend to throw off losses. Now, on the same page as that original exchange is a revised transcript. In the revised transcript, the IRS posted the following clarification, which actually is simply a pure and total reversal of what was said in the transcript. That clarification states that while profit or loss from rental real estate trade or business operated by a husband and wife will be reported on two Schedule Cs if the spouses make the qualified joint venture election, neither making the qualified joint venture election nor reporting the profit or loss on two Schedule Cs converts amounts which are statutorily excluded from Self-Employment Contribution Act, SECA, self-employment tax, into amounts subject to the SECA tax. Similarly, simply electing to be treated as a qualified joint venture and thereby reporting the real estate joint venture profit or loss on two Schedule C does not convert the income or loss from passive to non-passive. Now, that last sentence doesn't really change anything we already knew, because nobody in the program suggested that somehow it can make the rental real estate non-passive. But the first part, that it does not create self-employment income or loss, well, that obviously is a 180-degree different answer than what we had in the original transcript. The past week, the IRS made a public a chief counsel advice, it was dated March 18th, that more formally outlines a support for this position. Now, it's important to note that what we have here is still not a binding document for those of us outside the IRS on this matter. In fact, that CCA, like all such documents, start out right away stating this advice may not be used or cited as precedent. But it appears the IRS plans to hold to this position at this point, at least unless Congress clarifies the section to make it clear they meant it to be handled the other way. More likely, I suspect, is that Congress will clarify Section 1402A17 to clearly reflect what this ruling says, since it was the 1065 instructions that actually surprised many of us. That reading, which I believe is a less tortured way to read the actual text of the statute that exists, has consequences far beyond what Congress appears to have likely intended. And that's what the author of the chief counsel advice notes. Now let's take a look at that advice in more detail. The CCA in question seeks to respond to questions that arose regarding this provision in the Small Business Self-Employed Division of the IRS. For the most part, I'm going to quote from the CCA to outline the position, since I believe the CCA itself does a good job of explaining the position. But we'll talk a bit about why there is the other way to read the provision and, you know, what the IRS may be up to here. The issue as stated by the CCA is the following. Does a husband and wife's election of qualified joint venture status pursuant to IRC Section 761F for rental real estate business convert the income derived from the business into net earnings from self-employment when the income would otherwise be excluded from net earnings for self-employment under Section 1402A? The CCA, not leaving you in suspense, immediately gives this conclusion. That answer is no. If the income is otherwise excludable from net earnings from self-employment under Section 1402A, election of qualified joint venture status does not convert such income into net earnings from self-employment. The CCA then goes on to give the background that gave rise to the controversy. It starts out with the general explanation of Section 751F itself. And it says, and I quote, Section 751F provides that a qualified joint venture shall not be treated as a partnership for federal tax purposes. Thus, a husband and wife who elect qualified joint venture status do not need to file a partnership income tax return. Rather, they are treated as maintaining two sole proprietorships for all federal tax purposes, including income tax and self-employment tax, and are required to file tax returns accordingly. The next key point outlined are the IRS instructions to taxpayer about how to deal with this qualified joint venture entity when preparing their tax returns. The CCA outlines certain instructions, though most significantly, it doesn't discuss those Form 1065 instructions we talked about to start this presentation. I suspect because it's going to be impossible to mention those without having to essentially go on the record and say those instructions need to be ignored. They're in error, at least in our current position. Something I don't think the IRS really wants to highlight at this point. But the CCA states, the IRS has communicated to taxpayers that when a husband and wife elect qualified joint venture status, each spouse must file with their joint income tax return a separate Schedule C Form 1040, Profit or Loss from Business, Sole Proprietorship, or Schedule F Form 1040, Profit or Loss from Farming, and a separate Schedule SE, Self-Employment Tax, as applicable. See the article on the IRS website at www.irs.gov, keyword qualified joint venture. While the general instructions for the 2007 Form 1040 do not address reporting rental real estate income that would otherwise be reported on Schedule E, supplemental income or loss, for those making the qualified joint venture election, the instructions for the 2007 Schedule E have informed taxpayer who make the qualified joint venture election for rental real estate business that each spouse must report his or her share of such income on their respective Schedule Cs and not on Schedule Z. The CCA then goes on to note the IRS has received a number of inquiries about whether such income will be subject to self-employment tax. I would say in passing, we know that at least Ms. Buckingham, the EA from Dayton, has asked about this matter, and like many of us, were a bit surprised at the initial conclusion. The CCA analyzes, in continuing, initially the reasons for qualified joint venture reporting and the reason why Congress stated for needing to also modify the self-employment tax provision. Per the CCA, the Act added Section 761F to the Code, which provides that a qualified joint venture shall not be treated as a partnership for federal tax purposes. A qualified joint venture is a joint venture conducts a trade or business where the only members of the joint venture are a husband and wife who file a joint return, both spouses materially participate in the trade or business, and both spouses elect not to be treated as a partnership under IRC Section 761F2. For this purpose, material participation has the same meaning as under the passive activity loss rules in Section 469H and the corresponding regulations. The spouses must divide the items of income, gain, loss, deductions, and credit in accordance with their respective interests in the venture, and each spouse takes into account each item as if it were attributable to him or her as a sole proprietor. Okay, that's the basic structure here, and that includes for items of income or loss. The presence of material participation does not change the passive character. Accordingly, the spouse's qualified joint venture election premised on the spouse's material participation does not alter the character of passive income or loss. So far, that doesn't contradict anything that was said in the Form 1065 instructions nor on that particular presentation in January. But the CCA then goes on to review the general definition of self-employed income found in Section 1402A prior to the revision in question. Generally, the code imposes a tax on individuals' self-employment income defined as net earnings from self-employment with certain adjustments per IRST sections 1401 and 1402B. The code defines net earnings from self-employment generally as gross income derived by an individual from a trade or business plus a distributive share of income or loss from a partnership of which is the individual is a member. The code enumerates many exceptions to this general definition found at 1402A. One such exception excludes rental income from real estate from the definition of net earnings from self-employment unless such rental income is received in the course of the trade or business as a real estate dealer. Other provisions generally exclude dividend income and gain or loss from the sale or exchange of a capital asset. The CCA then goes on to look at the new section 1402A17 provision we noted above and looks at the author's view of the legislative history behind the provision. The author claims the relevant legislative history makes clear that the net earnings from self-employment is determined by taking into account each spouse's respective share of the business from the qualified joint venture just as for federal income tax purposes. I presume he means just for federal income tax purposes if they were conducting the business by themselves. The report indicates that the reason for the change is to reduce complexity for business ventures run by a husband and wife filing a joint return by eliminating the need to file a partnership income tax return because reported income would be the same on a joint return whether or not a partnership return is filed. The report also expresses Congress's concern that in some cases, only one spouse reports the net earnings from self-employment on a venture with the result only one spouse receives credit for the Social Security benefit purposes. Congress intended each spouse to account for his or her respective share of the qualified joint venture income as a sole proprietor, anticipating each spouse would account for his or her respective share on the appropriate form, such as Schedule C. Additionally, in explaining its reasons for the change, Congress expressed its expectation that both spouses, not just one, should be treated as having net earnings from self-employment from the venture in accordance with their respective interests. Taken together, the legislative history suggests that any income earned by a qualified joint venture is reported for all federal tax purposes using the same forms as if each spouse were a sole proprietor who earned such income. The CCA goes on to note that generally a person who has rental real estate income would report that on Schedule E and not count it as self-employment income. Having set up that background, the CCA now goes on to give what the author views as the proper application of Section 1402A17. The author notes the specific language of Section 1402A17 provides that each spouse's share of the qualified joint venture income shall be taken into account determining the net earnings of self-employment of each spouse. The reference back to Section 761F prescribes how the total income of the qualified joint venture is to be divided among the spouses. The phrase, notwithstanding the preceding provisions of this subsection, read in context with the rest of Section 1402 and the legislative history discussed above, directs that none of the preceding subsections is to alter that allocation between the spouses. Most significantly, the way this is worded goes this phrase that we next find in the CCA analysis. To read the phrase, notwithstanding the preceding provisions of this subsection as nullifying the applications of all exclusions from net earnings from self-employment would trigger dramatic changes in the application of self-employment tax to businesses to spouses electing qualified joint venture status. Not only rental real estate income or qualified joint venture, but also dividends and capital gain would become subject to self-employment tax if earned by a qualified joint venture. Based on that conclusion, that is the impact of reading it the way it was originally proposed to be read in the Form 1065 instructions, the author goes on to state that we find no indication that the statute or legislative history that Congress intended the notwithstanding phrase to be read then that way. The purpose of Section 761F was to eliminate a reporting burden, specifically the filing of partnership income tax return in addition to the spouse's joint income tax return, while ensuring that both participating spouses, rather than just one spouse, may receive Social Security credit for their net earnings from self-employment. I don't know about you, but my clients usually aren't terribly worried on that side. They're more worried about having to pay self-employment and tax, not so much about everybody getting credit, but we'll ignore that for the moment. The purpose of Section 761F was not to convert income that otherwise be excluded from net earnings from self-employment altogether into income that is subject to self-employment tax. Thus, the amounts are ruled not to be subject to self-employment tax by virtue of Section 1402A1's exclusion for such rental income, an exclusion that the CCA holds is still valid, even with the implementation of 1402A17, at least when you read it the way the author believes it should be read. Now, there's a little couple of issues that are coming up that the CCA goes on to discuss in its section entitled Case Developments, Hazards, and Other Considerations. And the problem is how the IRS computer is going to view what the author appears to say is a properly prepared return in accordance with the instructions that have been given to report this rental activity onto Schedule Cs. That is, the IRS computer has a tendency to look for a Schedule SE when it sees a Schedule C on a return, especially a Schedule C with income. And that would give rise to notices if the rental showed income sufficient to trigger self-employed tax liability if, in fact, the amounts had been self-employment income. But remember, we're told that even if we're showing $100,000 of income from the rental, that's not self-employment income in a qualified joint venture. But the IRS computers won't necessarily know that. So the author gives the following advice, which is not going to be terribly reassuring to anyone who prepares a return showing rental income from a joint venture. The author states, we understand the following instructions to those making a qualified joint venture election to report rental real estate income from a qualified joint venture on Schedule C rather than Schedule E may prompt IRS inquiries when a taxpayer files a Form 1040 with Schedule C's attached but no corresponding Schedule SE. We recommend that the appropriate service center functions be alerted to this issue so that the appropriate actions can be taken to ensure the self-employment tax provisions are applied correctly. Essentially, the other considerations is that it appears the taxpayer is going to get a letter, and hopefully the person at the IRS dealing with the correspondence on this letter is going to have consulted the CCA and will not apply and not attempt to assess the self-employment tax in this situation. Now, the key question, which interpretation is right? Well, is this one right? Maybe. From a practical standpoint, I suspect we may retroactively get an endorsement from Congress for the position of the CCA, as it's the sort of thing that seems just ripe for a technical correction clarification down the line from Congress. That said, I can certainly see how the original conclusion stated in the transcript of the Tax and Talk Today program was arrived at. Note that the IRS employee in that case read the legislative history completely differently from the way it ended up being read in the CCA. Both the author of the CCA and the IRS employee on Tax Talk Today both cited the legislative history in justifying their position on the treatment of these items for self-employment tax purposes. However, I suspect the pointed question raised in that presentation about the use of losses may very well have led to the reaction that got this new guidance issued and the correction added to the transcript of the program. That is, we had on an IRS-sponsored program a tax professional pointing out that, well, if this is correct, and since most rentals throw off losses, if we make the qualified joint venture election and we otherwise have self-employment income, aren't we reducing self-employment taxes by making this election? And when the answer came back, well, yes, that appears to be what's going to happen, I suspect that caused the IRS to wonder about whether or not maybe they wanted to revisit that view of this provision. That said, it's also important to note, though, that even if that earlier reading is correct, you can treat it as self-employment income or loss, you still have to show material participation by both spouses in order to be able to use qualified joint venture status, regardless of whether or not it is subject to self-employment tax. And that might not be terribly easy in a number of instances, especially for rentals that didn't require a whole lot of work initially to begin with. That is, can we meet the material participation test for both spouses if, in fact, there's little enough work for one spouse to do in this situation in terms of the actual work of keeping track and running that rental? That's a whole different question, a whole different issue if you're going to try to take the position. Now, from a practical standpoint, what if you acted on that original instructions to the Form 1065, or perhaps even the original January Tax Talk Today program, and therefore already had a return filed treating this as self-employment income or loss that was in place prior to the IRS posting this revision, which appears to have come up on their website on March 7th, or the later Tax Talk Today program that occurred a few days later there where they suggested you need to go read that document? Well, right now, I would say, considering that the reading of this was up in the air, I'm not sure I would move right away to amend that. but I certainly would make my client aware that it appears that in the interim, the IRS changed their position, and that if there was an examination, they may take a different position, especially if we had taken self-employment loss. If the taxpayer had paid self-employment tax by making qualified joint venture election, which I begin to wonder why you made the election if they're going to pay the tax and now don't want to pay it. But if that's the case, you probably could amend the return citing this particular CCA and indicate that based upon that position, you believe the self-employment tax was paid in error and attempt to get the money back from that. That's a possibility. For everybody else who may still have returns to file, well, this is one I think if you want to take the position it is SE tax, you better have a long talk with your client about the fact that it appears the current IRS position is it is not SE income or SE loss, and that if they want to take that position, there may be some question about whether it would be sustained, or at least I would say a pretty good chance that on exam the IRS isn't going to sustain it, that they're going to turn around and try to turn it down as self-employment income. And more to the point then, if we got to court, now we have to figure out how would a court read A17 and would it remove the previous provisions? Finally, what's the chance Congress will retroactively technical correct this provision? And frankly, I believe that last part is extremely likely that we'll see some sort of correction on this provision. Now, this has been the Tax Update. The Tax Update is brought to you by Lineberg Information Services, located on the web at www.lineberg-services.com. Be sure to visit them on the web and take a look at their offerings for those of us who are in tax practice for their newsletters. This has been the Tax Update.